Hello, welcome back to the Football Postcast for another week of footballing insight, thanks to the lovely people at the Racing Post Sport Desk. Joining myself, Jack Reeve, this week, I'm delighted to welcome Dan Childs and Aidan Perkins to take us through a fascinating weekend of FA Cup action. Dan, Aidan, welcome to the show. Great to have you along. We'll be getting into some FA Cup stuff shortly, but I wanted to touch base with both of you regarding the Premier League title race. Now, it's really starting to heat up at the top there. A quick show of the Paddy Power prices. They have Manchester City at 1-2, Liverpool at 9-2, Manchester United at 6-1, and Leicester at 25-1. Dan, you go a month or so back, and I think we were all raving about Liverpool and Manchester City seemingly seemed out of the race. Liverpool are now really struggling to score goals. Manchester City are getting back to their best, and everything's changed at the top.
Yeah, I think Manchester City are highly likely to win the title now. I know at the moment they're not actually top of the league with Manchester United winning at Fulham last night, but I mean, on points per game, because they've got the game in hand, they are slightly ahead of United, and I just think that for them to be in such a good position after the slow start they've had is a bit ominous, really, for the rest of the league. They're clicking into gear now, got a bit of luck, you might say, with that offside decision against Aston Villa, but they were still creating chances throughout the game. And, you know, they've been on a great run now. I think it's eight games in a row in all competitions that they've won. And you can, for me, that they look the only team that I fancy to get well above 80 points, because I can't see them getting any worse in the next part of the season. Whereas I look at United, and even though they're on this great run, they're nicking a lot of games. And a bit of a tale to tell is their goal difference, plus 11, which is the lowest, you know, among the top five. And whether you can continue to nick games with moments of brilliance, you know, like Paul Pogba pulled out the bag at Fulham. Even then, Fulham, you know, had a flurry at the end and could easily have equalised towards the end. I'm not sure they'll keep nicking these games. Of the other challengers, I just think Liverpool have been throwing away too many points, and with no, you know, sign of Van Dijk returning anytime soon, I can see that continuing. Spurs, I think, are too cautious, you know, to rack up enough wins. And Leicester, I think they're a bit too vulnerable at home. Lost four home games already, and I think their squad strength will be stretched by their Europa League involvement. So for me, although they look short, City, I can see them winning it.
Aidan, it's been a really tricky few weeks for Liverpool, hasn't it? Because you go back a little while and they'd absolutely thrashed Crystal Palace. They looked free-flowing. They looked brilliant. And then since then, I don't think they haven't scored in the last three league games, have they? And against Manchester United, certainly in that second half, Manchester United looked the more likely to win that game. So issues for Liverpool. I was surprised to see Manchester United as big as 6-1 with Paddy Power. I thought they might be a little bit shorter. But are you in agreement with Dan that it's Manchester City's to lose now?
Yeah, I mean, I do think that we're at that stage where City seem to be coming on really strong. I think, looking at the teams at the top, City had their sort of poor spell at the start of the season where they, I remember that game against Leicester at home and a few other performances where they were clearly out of sorts. Manchester United were struggling at the start of the season. Liverpool are going through it at the minute and having a real bad spell, and it's going forward. Like you said, they just can't seem to score goals. The front three have been so reliable for the last couple of years, Mane, Firmino and Salah, but they're all off colour at the minute. They're not scoring goals. I think Liverpool started well enough against Manchester United on Sunday and were the better side for the first half, and things didn't go their way. They didn't take their chances, and then United came back into it. Liverpool have got a massive game you know, against Burnley, and they may well get themselves back into it. But I have to say that, you know, I would agree with Dan that if you're looking at the runners and riders at the minute, then it's probably City's to throw away. I wouldn't discount Leicester just at the minute, though. I thought they were really good against Chelsea. And yeah, they have lost a few at home, so you maybe could say they've had their wobble. But James Maddison is playing absolutely brilliantly at the minute. Harvey Barnes is another player I really like. And you've also got to remember that Leicester have got quite a few players that have been there and done it before, been in a title race and have won it. And you know, you look at Schmeichel, Vardy, Mark Albrighton as well. There's quite a few players in that squad that have been there and done it. So don't discount Leicester is what I'd say.
Yeah, Leicester 25-1, like you said, and I think when James Maddison certainly starts to get on the score sheet as well, like he has been in recent weeks, he's almost unplayable. at times. Let us know who you think will win the Premier League at Racing Post Sport on Twitter. Okay, let's get into the FA Cup action then. It all starts tomorrow night, Friday the 22nd of January, and it kicks off with Chorley taking on Premier League Wolverhampton Wanderers, this one on BT Sport. Paddy Power price it, Chorley 22-1, the draw 15-2, and if you're backing Wolves, then nines on. Dan, I think we've got a lot of fixtures here where finding value might be difficult. So if you've got one piece of advice to punters going into this weekend, how would you approach things?
I would say, you know, maybe hold back until you see the team, especially with the FA Cup. You've got some teams that, especially with the draw being mapped out now, and they might have a tough route through to the quarterfinals. They might think, well, if the fifth round tie is going to be very, very difficult, why should we throw everything at the fourth round tie? And there could be others, you know, where they think, well, actually, you know, the route looks pretty tempting and promising here, so we can go really strong. But you never quite know until those teams are out. So I'd say, maybe hold off if you're not sure until you see those team sheets.
And in these types of games where the favourites are 1-9, where if you were having a bet, where would your money be going?
I'm going to go Wolves win 2-0 here. I think 8-11. I think that's a terrible bet. I mean, the gulf between the two sides is absolutely massive. I mean, surely a ninth in the National League North with actually a minus goal difference, 1-6 and lost 6 in the league. I mean, they have had a couple of giant killings, you could say, to get to this stage. 1-3-2 at Wigan, I think, who had 10 men for a lot of that game. A more impressive win was they won 2-1 at Peterborough in the second round. And then they've beaten Derby's kids, haven't they, in the third round. They had a real stroke of luck there with Derby's situation. But, a five-division gap between them and Wolves. I know Wolves are a bit out of form at the moment and still got the issue with no Raúl Jiménez up front. But it's such a gulf between the two sides. I can't really see Chorley scoring. They've got Connor Hall, bit of an in-form forward who's got 8 goals this season. He's scored in rounds 1, 2 and 3. So he's a player to watch for Chorley. But I don't see Chorley scoring in this game.
Aidan, I know a lot of people, will be sat on their sofas Friday evening looking forward to a bit of FA Cup action. I guess, what's your bet? And is there sort of an entertainment angle for this one?
Well, I mean, the interest for the neutral is obviously, could you somehow envisage a huge upset? I mean, as Dan has quite rightly said, there's a massive golfing class. It's not just like we've got a Premier League team against a League Two side or something like that. They are in the second level of the non-league pyramid, surely. So it's a huge step up. It's a massive ask for them to get anything off Wolves. The one thing you look at in these FA Cup ties is maybe the pitch and the conditions could play a part. You know, the weather's not been great. Can Chorley use that as a bit of a leveler? It's not going to be of the standard that Wolves are used to in terms of the setup, even the changing room and all that sort of thing, the cliches that we use in the FA Cup. But I cannot see anything other than a comfortable Wolves win. I'd be looking at maybe Wolves winning by a 2-goal margin or a 3-goal margin to try and get a bit more value. I was tempted to suggest that maybe Chorley would be able to score a goal and you could look at Wolves to win and both teams to score, which I think is around about 8-5. I'm trying to convince myself with that because I don't think they will score. I think, Dan's right in that it's a massive golfing class and it should be a comfortable home away win for Wolves.
Yeah, I think it's worth noting with all of these games to our listeners, don't feel inclined to have a bet in each and every game if you don't want to. Maybe Wolves, one for the Ackers. I don't know how we approach these. Saturday's early kickoff, though, sees a bit more of a level playing field. Southampton against Arsenal, 12:15 kickoff. BT Sport 1, Southampton 21-10. The draw 23-10. Arsenal are 6-5. Dan, this seems like one on paper, like you say, that waiting for the team news might be wise.
Absolutely. I mean, and especially with the Southampton situation, they've had the COVID outbreak there. Danny Ings, I think, was one that's been self-isolating. I mean, whether or not he returns, I mean, that's going to be, a big thing to consider. But I mean, as we're looking at the moment, you've got, I think, Southampton against Shrewsbury in the week. They had a few of their first teamers back, but they had 5 academy players who hadn't started a Premier League game who started that game against Shrewsbury. I mean, if the team is considerably from that lineup, you would really fancy Arsenal. And that's where I'm going to go here. Arsenal odds against, I think, to win the game looks a solid enough bet. Big squad, you know, which helps at times like this. Confidence on the rise. 13 points for the last 15, and they're the holders. So, I mean, you can see Arteta going with a strong side. Arsenal for me.
Yeah, and Aidan, Arsenal have a good record in the FA Cup in recent years, don't they?
Yeah, you know, they've proved in the last 3 or 4 years that, you know, that's where they've been picking up their silver and the trophies. And they obviously want more than that. Arsenal fans are going to want to be competing at the top of the table and competing in Europe. But the FA Cup's been really, really good to Arsenal and Mikel Arteta. And, you know, he got the monkey off his back straight away by winning the trophy very early on in his tenure. So he's going to want to continue that. He tends to pick a strong team in the FA Cup. And again, I agree with Dan. You look at the form, Arsenal, unbeaten in the last 6, 1-5, drew one of them. They're on a roll, plenty of confidence. They've got some good, young, talented players as well, Arsenal. Emile Smith-Rowe and Bukayo Saka have been really exciting in the last few weeks. And if Arteta decides to just maybe freshen it up and bring in some of his youngsters, he's proved that he's got some real talent there. So, you know, I would also be looking at an away win here. I think I've seen odds of about 6-5 on an Arsenal win, and that would tempt me definitely into a Gunners win in this one.
Yeah, Arsenal 6-5 with Paddy Power. So a nice looking price about Arsenal there. Right, the next game we're going to be previewing is the 5:30 kickoff on Saturday. There's a lot of 3 p.m. action, but we'd be here all day if we were previewing them. So let's take a look at the 5:30. It's on BBC One. It's Cheltenham Town taking on Manchester City. Cheltenham 25-1. The draw 9-1. Man City 12s on. Dan, like the Chorley Wolves game, this is another where it's going to be difficult to find value, but I'm sure you can try your best.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, I'd possibly even more difficult here. I'm just going for a bit of a correct score pot shot here. Man City 3-0. I've gone for 5-1. Again, you're struggling to make a case for Cheltenham. They are, you know, in the promotion running. In League Two, but they're actually on a bit of a poor run of form at the moment. No winning 7 at the moment. Missing an influential midfielder, Turcombe, who's been out for the last few weeks. I see the left wing back as well. He got injured in the midweek. 1-1 draw at home to Newport. So they're not even going to be at full strength. They're a fairly direct team, Cheltenham. Can cause problems with Benfica's long throws. He's got one of the best long throws in the lower leagues, and that's caused a lot of problems for League Two opposition. Not sure they're going to get enough up pitch to use many of them though against Man City, who are going to dominate this game on a fantastic run. As I mentioned earlier, 8-game winning streak, 15 unbeaten, and he tends to pick quite strong teams, Guardiola, as well for the cup. So I think Cheltenham are quite well organised. You know, Michael Duff, the manager there, he was a decent centre-back under Sean Dyche at Burnley. So he has his teams well organised. I don't think they'll get absolutely battered. So hence why I'm going to go for the 3-0 Man City.
Dan, what's your kind of rules around accumulators for these kind of weekends where we've got a lot of FA Cup action? There'll be a lot of short price favourites. I know amongst some punters, Akers are sort of frowned upon by some. If you were having a 5, £10, 6, 7 fold, would you be throwing 12s on shots in there, or would you be steering clear?
I don't know. You've got to football. Anything as much as we're looking at these games and thinking, this is a walkover in football. It teaches you that anything can happen. So for me, once you get beyond shorter than 1-5, you've got to consider the extra bump up you're getting in the price. Is it worth throwing another game in? I'd be reluctant to do that. I'll try and target the slightly bigger odds on shots to build your acca up. Otherwise, you're always going to find that one of these shorties could end up chinning you.
Yeah, definitely. Aidan, what's your thoughts on this game? As Dan mentioned, Man City in fine Premier League form. Can that translate to the FA Cup?
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, as Dan says, Pep tends to pick strong teams in the FA Cup, and that's probably down to the fact that City's squad is that strong, and he's probably got almost two 11s that he can play in, even in the Premier League, and that they still would do really well. So you've probably got the likes of Phil Foden coming in to start again. If I'm looking for value in the match, I might look at the goal scorers. Foden's in decent form as well, isn't he? When he has been playing, and he hasn't been playing every week. He came on, I think, against Villa on Wednesday night. I think he can get about 5-4 and him scoring any time. And that to me would be something to look at because, you know, Foden is very likely to start, I think, looking at the way Guardiola's been picking his teams in the last few weeks. And he's the sort of player that could, you know, dictate this match and City could potentially run riot. I mean, I would possibly look at the correct scores as well. City to win to 0, 4 or 5-0, something like that.
Yeah, definitely. Sound advice from both of you there. Let's move on to Sunday's fixtures then. 4 FA Cup games we'll be previewing here, starting with Chelsea against Luton. Chelsea 7s on, the draw 13-2. Luton Town 16-1 if you want to back the away side. Dan, having looked through the FA Cup fixtures, if there were going to be one upset, I think this is the game where there's real potential for it. Chelsea struggling. Luton Town, I know they haven't had the best of championship campaigns, but whenever I've watched them, they've looked so, so organised and the press is so strong. Do you agree?
Yeah, they're having a very good season in the championship. I just think the gulf is, again, here is just too big. I know it's only one division, but the gulf in the quality of player, and you could flip it the other way and say that if you, sometimes when a manager's under pressure, like Frank Lampard is, he cannot afford, you know, for Chelsea to get knocked out. He cannot afford a poor result. So I think he'll, because of that, he's going to go quite strong here with his team selection. So that could kind of work the other way. If Chelsea go strong, I mean, it's hard for him not to go, for him to go weak anyway, because they've got such a good squad. But I just think Luton, I mean, the mid-table in the Championship, 13th, which is, you know, for their budget, is really, really good. But away from home, you know, they tend to struggle more away from home. They've only scored 7 goals in 14 away games, I think, this season. And I think they'll probably struggle to score at Stamford Bridge. So I'm going to go the Chelsea win to nil route at 4-5 to me looks a solid enough bet.
Yeah, a big gulf in class, as Dan mentioned. Aidan, is this a good opportunity for the likes of Werner and Havertz, who've maybe not hit the ground running as quickly as they would have liked and against lower league opposition could maybe get on the score sheet here?
Yeah, I mean, Werner's a little bit of a funny one, isn't he? Because he was signed with much fanfare. He scored so many goals, didn't he, in Germany, and looked like he was going to join Liverpool at one point, and then that kind of fell through. Chelsea took the risk on him to a certain extent, but I was expecting him to be a real star, Werner. I thought his goal-scoring record was that good that he was going to be well suited to the Premier League, but it hasn't worked out for him at the minute. He did start okay. I think first month or so he was scoring a few goals here and there, but it's really dried up for him. He's not been playing every week. Giroud's come back in, but this is the chance for him. You're right. I think if Lampard goes with Werner from the start, which he probably will, then surely you'd think, well, against a sort of fairly average Championship team who are maybe punching above their weight a little bit, then this is the afternoon for him to start scoring goals as well. And I agree with Dan in that Lampard needs results, doesn't he? I think it's been fairly widely reported that if they were to lose this Chelsea, I think he probably would be sacked. And I think maybe if they were to lose their next Premier League game, he might be sacked as well, because they're like that at Chelsea. They're very ruthless, aren't they, with the managers? So yeah, I'm in agreement with Dan that it's a fairly comfortable Chelsea win. Maybe look at 2-goal Chelsea win, 2-goal margin, 11-4, something like that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. Early kickoff on Sunday, BBC One, so we'll all be able to watch it. 2:30 on Sunday, Brentford taking on Leicester City. Two teams enjoying life, one in the Premier League, one in the Championship. The home win 15-4, the draw 27-10. Leicester City, if you're liking the look of them, you can get them at 7-10 with Paddy Power. Dan, Brentford for me have once again been one of the more impressive teams in the Championship. Leicester, we've already spoken about enjoying life in the Premier League. Which way does this one go?
I'm strongly into Leicester here. I think this is will be my best bet of the FA Cup weekend. I know they're odds on, I think 7-10 the price is, but I think that's a really solid bet. Brentford's focus now, they got to the League Cup semi-finals, had a great run in that, but I think their focus for the rest of the season now is on going up, which I think they've got a great chance of doing the Championship. This game falls in either side of, they played Luton at home on the Wednesday and won 1-0 in the Championship. They've then got a massive game on the Wednesday away to Swansea in the Championship. It's a huge game for them. I can see them making wholesale changes here, Frank, for this game. They did it in the last round. He made wholesale changes at home to Middlesbrough, who were hit by COVID and they got away with it. They won 2-1 against the COVID hit Middlesbrough, but they were actually lucky to win that game. The shot count was 23-9 in Middlesbrough's favour. Brentford
you know, put the reserves out here, which I think it's quite likely. I think Leicester are going to be far too strong. Leicester, just to note, I think they're taking the FA Cup quite seriously. In the last round, they won 4-0 away to another Championship team, Stoke. And I think he rested Madison and Vardy, who had niggles going into the game. Apart from that, it was a full-strength Leicester side. If it's anything like a similar lineup here, I think they'll be much too strong.
I love it when Dan Charles is confident. He gets the juices flowing, doesn't he? Aidan, are you as confident here?
Yeah, I'll be honest, I'm not really. I'm waiting to see. Like we've said a few times, it really is vital to see what teams are selected by the managers. My little inkling before this, when I was looking at this match, was that Leicester are now being viewed as possibly in the Premier League title race. They had a really good win against Chelsea. And Brendan Rodgers might just think, he's also got, you know, Europe in the second half of the season as well. He might just think, actually, I might decide to rotate a little bit here. And if he does, then I would be tempted to look at Brentford. If, like Dan, Leicester go really strong and he picks his full-strength team, I can see a comfortable Leicester win. But if he delves into his squad a little bit and he decides to bring in the likes of Iheanacho or maybe Morgan at the back, suddenly Leicester look a little bit vulnerable to me. And you've got to remember with Brentford, they're a good, lively side. And I know the same applies to them, that if they decide to go weak, then, yeah, again, it plays into Leicester's hands. But if they decide to play one of, you know, their strongest side, then that gives them a good chance. You know, you've got to remember that decent cup pedigree, Brentford. They've got themselves to the semi-finals of the EFL Cup already this season, and they have beaten Premier League teams along the way, Southampton, West Brom, Newcastle and Fulham in that cup run. Different competition, I know. But that just suggests to me that Brentford aren't exactly no-hopers in this match. Much will depend, though, on the teams that are selected. If Leicester go weak, I'd be tempted to go with Brentford. If they both go weak, it's Leicester. If Leicester go strong, it's Leicester.
Which is
a bit confusing. But...
I've heard more concise summaries from you, Aidan.
Well, yeah.
No, I get the point. And I think the pattern emerging here is wait for the team news with the majority of these games. Don't go in too early. Another really cracking game, 5 p.m. on Sunday, sees two teams who have just met, Manchester United and Liverpool. Once again, this one on BBC One. I do love that kind of winter BBC FA Cup fixture. There's something really special about that. So looking forward to this one. And Dan, unlike Sunday's encounter between these two sides, hopefully we'll see a goal. Manchester United 29-20, the draw 5-2, Liverpool 8-5. Who's the more likely to win here?
Liverpool for me. I'm going to go over Liverpool to win the game. I think it'll be quite a tight game again, but I think it's one of them where it might actually favour Liverpool, I think, playing away from home. I think United, I know they're not going to be any fans in the stadium, but I don't think they're going to be able to just sit there and play a counter-attacking game like they did at Anfield. I think they'll probably come out more and attack Liverpool, and I think that will suit Liverpool, give them a bit more space, you know, for the likes of Salah and Mane to do some damage. Liverpool do seem to be taking the FA Cup more seriously this season. I mean, previous years under Klopp, they've made a lot of changes, but they, even against Aston Villa's kids, I mean, he put out a really strong side, Klopp, and I think, you know, now they've got Manchester United. I don't see him going any weaker. Man United on this. I mean, you've got to give them respect. They're on a fantastic run at the moment. I would still question their form against the Big Six. You look at the Big Six this season, they've had 3 losses and 3 draws. All of those 3 losses against Spurs, Arsenal, Manchester City in the Cup have been at Old Trafford. It might be another loss here.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, this. And again, one where it might be wise to wait for the team news. Both sides involved in a Premier League title race. Manchester United in some good form, but more importantly here, both teams really won't want to lose, will they? So with all of that factored in, which way do you see it going?
Yeah, I mean, the rivalry is massive between these two. I do think both managers will change their teams a little bit. I don't think either will be at complete full strength. You might see the likes of Origi starting for Liverpool, or, you know, players coming in of that ilk, few fringe players mixed in with, you know, your normal regulars as well. You've got to remember that they've both played in midweek, so, you know, there's not that much of a turnaround. I'm tempted to go with Dan with an away win, but I fancy a draw at 90 minutes. Again, I know all the FA Cup games are going to go to extra time and that, but you can still get the draw at 90 minutes. Loads of draws between Liverpool and Manchester United of late. Lots of nil-nils, lots of 1-1s in the past sort of 4 or 5 years. They're usually really tight games. The other bet that I quite like, again, is under 2.5 goals. That bet has actually come in 10 of the last 12 games that these two have play between them, under 2.5 goals. There's usually hardly any goals in these matches. So I know the FA Cup's different, and I know that, you know, maybe Solskjaer will try and set Manchester United up to be more attacking compared to what he was at Anfield on Sunday. So that may well promise more goals. But for me, I think it's going to be tight again. And I like the look of under 2.5, which I think is around about evens.
Yeah, Master Aidan, I was speaking to this with a few friends in the week, and I, you know, the unders in the Manchester United Liverpool game, as you've highlighted there, you know, clicks quite often. But I really struggle to cheer on sort of an under 2.5 goals. Are you the same, or do you not mind?
It's a dull bet, isn't it? You're sitting there not hoping for goals, but I suppose, from a punter's point of view, you've got to look at the bigger picture and the magnitude of this game, and you know, if you know Manchester United and Liverpool fans, the tradition and the history, it is still the biggest game of the season. And I know this is in the FA Cup, so maybe that just reduces it slightly. Neither team wants to lose. They're both involved in a title race. That often then plays out as being a really tight match. And then obviously then there's a lack of goals. But yeah, I know what you're saying. It is difficult. It's very difficult to watch a match and think, right, I don't want a goal here.
Yeah, no, exactly. But the evidence certainly backs that selection up. One more game to get through on Sunday, and that sees Everton taking on Sheffield Wednesday. Premier League taking on Championship opposition here. 3-10 on the home side, 4-1 the draw, 8-1 on Sheffield Wednesday. Dan, Sheffield Wednesday, of course, started the season in the Championship on negative points. They've done okay, but nothing marvellous. Everton started really well, have kind of plateaued since then. How do you see this one going?
I think Everton will get the job done. I'm not sure there'll be a lot of goals in the game, though, so I'm going to go for Everton and under 3.5 goals, evens, to bump the price up, you know, significantly from that 3-10 to Everton's win. Got to remember, they made hard work, didn't they, beating another Championship team, Rotherham, in the last round, and it was the time to get the 2-1 win there. I actually think Sheffield Wednesday, they may pose less of a threat than Rotherham. They're a bit less of an up-and-at-them type of team. They're very, very defensive, a little bit of a carryover from, you know, Pulis being in charge there recently. I mean, that's you can't really see much of where Wednesday's goal threat's going to come from. I'm looking at their top scorers. I mean, Callum Patterson, you know, big battering ram, centre forward, is a top scorer with 5 goals. You know, he's not the most high quality striker. You know, they've only scored 6 goals in 11 away games in the Championship. I think they're going to struggle to score at Goodison. The other side of it is that they are hard to break down, Sheffield Wednesday. They've only conceded 23 goals against in the Championship. That's the best defensive record outside of the top 7. And bearing in mind that Everton, you know, you've got Dominic Calvert-Lewin, looks like he'll still be injured. You know, maybe it's not wise to, you know, a high scoring Everton win. So I'll go Everton to win and under 3.5 goals.
Yeah, Aidan, another tricky one, I guess, to find significant value. Wednesday have looked very blunted, as Dan mentioned there, going forwards. Can you see a comfortable home win here?
Well, I don't think it'll be comfortable. I think it'll be a home win. I don't think it's going to be a classic by any stretch. Everton, as Dan said, struggled past Rotherham in the last round. So it's maybe going to be a bit of a similar one. Everton to win by the odd goal, 23-10. I looked at that as a possible. It's probably one of the games I might avoid, really, because I can't see much happening under 2.5, under 3.5 goals, something like that. But you know, Everton have been good this year and very good under Carlo Ancelotti. Whether or not he plays his full side again is another thing to take into consideration. Sheffield Wednesday, you think for them, I often think in these cup weekends, if you've got a team who are struggling, as Sheffield Wednesday are, in a relegation fight, that's probably their focus. This is a bonus to them. Sometimes that can mean that they can play with freedom, but I think a lot of the time it sort of goes down the priority list. So I think an Everton win, but by, you know, maybe the odd goal.
Yeah, no, spot on. Okay, one game on the Monday we'll be covering, just the one FA Cup clash on that evening, and it's Wycombe Wanderers against Tottenham Hotspur. 9-1 you can get on the Wycombe home win. That's with Paddy Power. The draw 5-1 and Tottenham 2-9 on. Dan, I felt sorry for Wycombe through this season because although they've struggled to pick up results, a lot of their performances have been very good, very fine margins in games. They've had a few dodgy decisions go against them. This is still going to be an absolutely massive test, though. Can you see anything other than a Tottenham win?
I'm sure Spurs will probably win the game. I don't think I'll be, you know, one of these you mentioned about accumulators. I don't think I'll be rushing to
chuck them in an accumulator, because it's one of them games. Wickham, as you say, they are a very ultra competitive side. They're normally in most of the games, you know, that they play. They don't lose by a lot of goals. I mean, at home this season, they've only had two defeats at home: Swansea 2-0, Middlesbrough 3-1, by more than one goal, where they've lost by more than one goal. So the conditions aren't going to be easy there at Adams Park. One of them that Spurs, you wonder whether you know, the really big players are going to start. I think they've got Liverpool at home in the Premier League 3 days later. So it's going to be a big Mourinho might be very tempted to make a few changes. I do think Spurs will probably get over the line in the game, but not by a lot of goals. So that feeds into my tip, which is Spurs and under 3.5 goals at 7-5. That big bump up on the original price of 2-9.
Aidan, what are you thinking in this one?
Yeah, I mean, Wickham, bottom of the Championship, aren't they? So that, you know, that tells its own story with how poor they've been this year. Big golfing class again. Even if Mourinho plays his fringe players, they were very professional against, admittedly, non-league Marine last time out. But you think maybe Dele Alli, possibly Gareth Bale and Carlos Vinicius are all going to get a chance at least. Vinicius got a hat-trick against Marine. So again, maybe look at the goal scorer markets, Vinicius to score any time. Lucas Moura might play as well, those sort of players. I do think Tottenham will win fairly comfortably, though.
Yeah, one Premier League game to get through on the Saturday, coming right up.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the football postcast. Right, that's the FA Cup action ticked off. Let's talk about the one Premier League game on Saturday, the 23rd. Aston Villa up against Newcastle. Of course, Aston Villa have some games to make up due to the COVID implications in recent weeks. And Dan, they go up against a Newcastle side here who are really struggling.
Yeah, they are. I'm just taking issue a little bit with the prices, really. I mean, it's... you know, Villa are 4-9, you know, to win this game. You know, they have had a tough game, haven't they, against Manchester City, where he's picked a strong team there. Dean Smith resisted the temptation to make, you know, many changes and sort of target the Newcastle game. And that kind of the worst thing happened. They were in the game for a long period of time, you know, and then had a big decision go against them late on and have ended up losing. And you could see towards the end of the game, they looked leggy and they looked mentally sort of, you know, they'd taken a bit of a knock. So to come back out again 3 days later, you know, and perform is not going to be that easy. I do think they're a far better team than Newcastle, but the gap in the league is only 7 points. So I'm just taking issue a little bit of the, you know, disparity in the prices. The way I'm going to go, I'm going to do one of them bets that you've talked about, cheering on no goals. I'm going to say under 2.5 goals at 11-10. I just think Newcastle, in away games, they normally just set up, don't they, to frustrate teams. I mean, that feeds into the stats as well. 8 of Newcastle's last 10 Premier League away games have been under 2.5 goals. I mean, that's a pretty solid stat there. And given that Villa maybe will be a bit leggy and might lack the fluency and the sharpness they normally have, maybe Newcastle can sort of frustrate them for periods and, you know, play into it being a low-scoring game.
Yeah, the prices with Paddy Power: Aston Villa 4-9, 7-2 the draw, 5-1. On Newcastle. And Aidan, of course, if you're taking sort of recent form in this season into consideration, which you should be, Aston Villa are rightly favourites. But Newcastle, I mean, the display against Liverpool kind of sticks out. That was solid. I mean, they looked fairly blunt going forwards, but at least they didn't concede that night. 5-1 on Newcastle. Is that tempting?
It's not for me, to be honest. What I might look at is the draw, 7-2. If you're thinking that Villa are going to be tired after that game against City, which, you know, as Dan quite rightly points out, could have implications on the team selection and the fact that they've had a lot of players out and, you know, they haven't played regularly. Villa, I mean, you know, Villa to me is the pick in terms of who's going to win the match, 4-9. I'm maybe tempted a little bit by the draw. The one thing that maybe makes me think that Villa are a little bit weak is that at home this season, they haven't always been great. They've lost to Brighton at home when I think Brighton was struggling that day and it was a deserved win. They also lost early in the season at home to Southampton, but they don't lack for goals at all, Villa. And even against Man City, you know, they came forward and created some good chances. Grealish you know, we know all about him, how good he is. Ollie Watkins has been very good as well. To me, it's probably a game to steer clear of in terms of a bet, because a bit like Dan, I think 4-9 on Villa, you're not getting much for your money there. And I do think Villa will probably win the match.
Yeah, Villa very short, but you never quite know with teams having come back from COVID cases, do you? Right, that's FA Cup action and Premier League action sorted. Let's see if the gents have any other fancies from across the divisions. We've pretty much got a full slate in League One and League Two, so that might attract some attention from a certain Dan Childs and one Championship game as well, QPR against Derby. Dan, where's the other fancies coming this week?
I like the look of Oldham at home to Newport in League Two. I think a bit of value there, around 2-1. I mean, it's a tight division, League Two. Oldham are down in 16th, but they've got a decent 1-1 draw at Walsall last Saturday. They're only 8 points off the playoffs, so they're still going to be maybe looking at bridging that gap. They actually won 4-2 away to Newport in December, and that was a stronger Newport side than you're going to see now, because they have lost players, influential loan player since then. Scott Twine, who has been on loan for Swindon, got some great goals for them, 6 goals this season. He's gone back to Swindon. Brandon Cooper, they had on loan, centre-back from Swansea, he's gone back to Swansea. So, you know, they're a little bit weaker, Newport, than they were the last time they played Oldham. And they've not been on a fantastic run as well, Newport. Haven't won for a few games now. Drew 1-1 at Cheltenham on Tuesday night. The goalkeeper, I don't know if you've seen it, scored an incredible wind-assisted goal for Newport. But, that was one of their 7 shots in the game, but they actually lost the shot count 17-7. So it looks like they were probably lucky to get a draw there. So, I think Oldham, you know, maybe can nick this game at Boundary Park.
Aidan, what about you?
Yeah, I was looking in the La Liga at the weekend, and quite like the look of on Sunday, Granada to win at Osasuna, 19-10. I've seen that, so that's something that caught my eye a little bit, because, you know, if you look at the league table, Osasuna second bottom, Granada up in seventh. I know they're away from home, but, you know, Granada have unbeaten in their last three, decent 2-2 draw with Villarreal last time out, and they'd won away at Malaga before that, and also a few other away wins thrown in. So something like that would tempt me. The other thing to bear in mind when these two meet is that Granada beat them 2-0 at the start of the month, or only on the 12th of January, so that shows you that they had the better of them only a couple of weeks or so ago. So that was something that caught my eye. Haven't looked in detail at the other leagues, to be honest with you. It was mostly sort of FA Cup that was grabbing my attention.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Let's get into the naps.
This will not be beaten.
Okay, it will only be a double this week. Unfortunately, Emmett from Paddy Power is sick, so just Dan and Aidan's naps to make up a double. Dan, we'll start with you.
I'm going to go with mid-table Fleetwood in League One to win away to second bottom Wigan. I think the price is around evens, maybe a shade of odds on, but I think that's a solid bet for Fleetwood to win this game. Wigan have been in the relegation zone since the end of October. Very inexperienced side at the moment. They've lost a little bit like Newport, lost a lot of loan players. Cal Naismith, he wasn't a loan player actually, but he's left the club. Darnell Johnson, who they had on loan, he's left. Curtis Tilt, who's left. Matt Palmer's gone as well. So, and Tom James, I think, was on loan from Hibernian, and he's left as well. So they've lost a lot of players, Wigan, since they last played. And they had a young team anyway, so... For me, they're crying out to be opposed. Fleetwood have been a bit of a dodgy run at the moment, but got plenty of experience in the team. Coots and Whelan in midfield, Charlie Mulgrew at centre-back, and you've got Paddy Madden up top, often good for a goal. So Fleetwood to win this game.
Aidan, what about you?
Yeah, I was sort of debating a few, really. I do think Villa will beat Newcastle, but the odds aren't great. I was also tempted to throw in the Phil Foden suggestion in terms of the anytime goal scorer for City, but there's no guarantee that he will start. So, you know, you're probably best off steering clear of that. So I will go with my Spanish one, the one I just mentioned. So Granada winning at Osasuna. You know, I think they're a little bit too much at 19-10 from what I've seen to win away against a team that are second bottom in the table. Granada themselves up at seventh in the table. So that's one I'd look at on Sunday afternoon.
Okay, so a nap double this week made up of Fleetwood Town and Granada. That will wrap up this week's show. A big thank you to Dan and Aidan, as always, for providing some insight. As I mentioned at the top of the show, please don't feel like you need to have a bet on each and every game. There's a lot of footballing action this weekend away from the FA Cup. So if you're sticking with the league stuff, then take a look through that. We'll be back next week for another episode of the Football Postcard. But until then, stay safe and we'll see you all again very soon. Bye-bye.